Hello, hello, and welcome back to Mona's Rants. I'm your host, Mona Shake. Today's topic, holy shit, today's topic is a pretty loaded topic, you guys, pretty loaded topic. I am talking about predator male comedians. Yeah, I mean, we know that there are male predators out there, but male predator comedians, or predator male comedians, are a very interesting topic, and it's also a very, I would say, difficult topic, you know, because it's such a loaded topic, right, to talk about. So here we go, okay? So I know that male predators are as old as time, I guess, male comedian predators are slightly younger than that, I would say. I mean, this week, there was an explosive news that was trending on Twitter, and it was about Chris D'Elia, the comedian Chris D'Elia. I don't know if you guys have seen him. He's actually the son of Bill D'Elia, who's a very big executive producer, who executive produced Law & Order and a lot of other big shows. So Chris D'Elia is an actor and a comedian. He was on the show Whitney, where he played Whitney Cummings' boyfriend. And Chris D'Elia, you know, I have seen him at the Comedy Store at Laugh Factory, and of course I've seen him come up the ranks, no doubt about it. And Chris D'Elia has multiple, I mean, not just one, or multiple sexual harassment accusations against him by women who claimed that they were underage when he was hitting them up. He was hitting up high schoolers, according to these girls. Okay, these girls were 16 and 17. I mean, he was hitting them up. I saw screenshots of, like, you know, these underage girls. Hi, Tim. Nice to see you. How are you? I'm good. How are you? Chris D'Elia was hitting up 16 and 17-year-old girls. Chris D'Elia, a comedian and an actor, this week got destroyed on Twitter and basically is being, like, taken out by so many multiple media outlets and being accused of sexually harassing underage girls and hitting them up for sex. Some of the text messages are, I mean, they're all very disturbing. You know what I mean? You see screenshots, you see emails. These girls were underage when he was asking them to come and make out with them. And the one that really stood out to me was this one girl in Edmonton, Canada. He was apparently touring there. And this one girl in the text, she tells him that, you know, she's 17 years old. And then he somehow continues on and says something to the effects of, hey, send me your address. Maybe I can come over. And she sends him an address, I shit you not, of the Humane Society. Now, I don't know if you know what the Humane Society is, but the Humane Society is where they take in stray dogs and cats and animals, I suppose. He responds to her and says, what the fuck? This is an address for the Humane Society. And she responds by saying, yes, that's where they take strays. And I busted out laughing at the cleverness of this girl and how quickly she roasted this guy, this grown-ass guy that's twice her age. And here he is trying to solicit sex and trying to come over to her place when she's clearly underage. Now, a lot of people were like, why would he do that? Why would he do that? Well, why would R. Kelly or Jeffrey Epstein try to, you know, touch or have sex with young girls? It's called pedophilia, okay? That's what the fuck it's called. You know, I think what I don't understand is that there is this guy, D'Elia is, you know, he's like 6'2". He's clearly not, you know, unattractive. He has money. He's famous. He's got all this amazing stuff going on. Why in God's name would this guy solicit sex? Like, why would he try to reach out to underage girls when he's an established celebrity and try to get sex out of them? And, you know, to me, it boils down to power. Right? It is about power and control. It's to know that you are this famous and you are this big and somehow that you are above the law, that you're going to get away with this shit. Clearly, he hasn't seen Jeffrey Epstein's documentary, Filthy Rich, on Netflix, which he should. At first, when it was trending, when Chris D'Elia was trending on Twitter, I got scared. I was like, oh my God, is he trending for being a comedian? And then I was like, whew, okay, thank God he's not training for being a comedian, because holy shit. He has a special out, which I refuse to watch. It's called White Male Black Comic, which I think should be renamed to White Male Predator Comic, which I think would be a more appropriate title for that special. He also played, I don't know if you guys know this, he played a pedophile that's like trolling this 15-year-old in the show You on Netflix. So he played himself on a show, which is also known as method acting. So he was so method, he was like, I'm gonna play myself on a show and just really just outdo myself. And that's what Chris D'Elia did, okay? Now, Chris D'Elia, I don't know if you guys heard, but there's a new strain of COVID. And apparently Chris D'Elia and R. Kelly both have it. It's COVID-16 and COVID-17. Drums, please. Pum-pum. Yeah, that's my joke, okay? I mean, look, Chris has been harassing teenagers for a while, since 2011, if you go back and read some of the tweets about these girls. A grown-ass man doing this kind of shit, why would you do that? Because you're a pedophile. That's why the fuck you would do that. It's really horrible. And I'm really sorry to the girls who experienced this shit, because I don't think anybody should ever fucking experience this, especially when you're a underage teenage girl. It's horrific. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed this, but ever since Epstein's pedophilic documentary came out, a lot of pedophiles are getting exposed. Have you noticed this? I don't know. Maybe it's just a coincidence, or maybe it's not. I mean, first, Chris was hitting up high schoolers, right? He was hitting up these teenagers. I mean, what is he going to hit up next? Chuck E. Cheese? Is that his next stop? I hope not. I mean, in response to the accusations, I shit you not, this is what Chris D'Elia had to say. I mean, it's so disturbing. You're just like, wait, what the fuck did he say? Yeah, this is what he said. He said, I know I have said and done things that might have offended people during my career, but I have never knowingly pursued any underage women at any point. All of my relationships have been both legal and consensual, and I have never met or exchanged any inappropriate photos with the people who have tweeted about me. That being said, I really am truly sorry. I was a dumb guy who absolutely let myself get caught up in my lifestyle. That's my fault. I own it. I've been reflecting on this for some time now, and I promise I will continue to do better. What? How? If you are saying that you are not guilty of these things, then why would you apologize? If you are not guilty of texting underage women, then why would you apologize, right? So I don't know if you guys remember this, but a while back, Justin Bieber got accused of this girl came out and claimed that she had sex with him and she's carrying his baby. Okay. And Justin was just like, no, we did not have sex. I do not know you. And no, you're not carrying my child. And he was like, let's do a paternity test. Tell me exactly the details where you did this. And guess what? That girl was lying. Okay. She was trying to solicit money out of him. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's happening here. What is happening here is that these girls are telling the truth, okay? They're telling their truth about what happened with them. And it's not just one or two. I mean, it's so many of them. I mean, it's like almost as if somebody opened the fucking floodgates on this. You should check out Twitter. I mean, Twitter is just like, they've been going in on him and just like tweeting and talking about all these young girls about their experience with Chris D'Elia. And it is beyond disturbing of how he thinks that it's cool. And honestly, if you are not guilty of something, then why the fuck would you apologize? Why would you say that I was dumb? Clearly, and he said that I've been reflecting about this for some time now. Really? What's that some time? Just this week, have you been reflecting? Because you got caught? Because some women had the courage to get up and call you out? Is that when you've been reflecting? Or have you been reflecting a while back? Because if you had been reflecting for a while back, you would not have sent those shitty text messages. You would have probably went out and gotten some help. You clearly can afford it. You clearly can go to a therapist. I mean, you come from money and now you make a shit ton of more money. So go get yourself help. But you can't. because you're a predator. That's why. Okay. And I don't know if Netflix is going to cancel him. I don't know what's going to happen to him. But this is just the tip of the iceberg. Okay. Chris D'Elia is just the tip of the iceberg. There is so many of these predators that are out there, not just in the comedy world, but also in the acting world. And they don't get caught and they don't get exposed because they're pretty slick. And the problem, and I think the number one reason that they don't get caught and that the number one reason nobody exposes them is fear. Who is going to challenge a famous guy with shit ton of money and a huge following, you know, that they can bury you in lawyers? They can bury you, you know. But thank God for Twitter and thank God for social media that these women can have a chance and an opportunity to tell their stories. Thank God for social media where our voices actually fucking count and we're not buried in the back and just told to sit down or shut up or nobody's going to listen to us because our stories don't matter or our truths don't matter. But they fucking do. And they always have, and they will continue to. So just get with the fucking program. If you are a predator, this is a bad time to be a predator. Maybe it was a good time to be a predator during Cosby's time, or maybe even Weinstein's time. But now is not a fucking good time to be a predator because you will get exposed. And that's exactly what's happened in this case this week with Chris D'Elia's case. One thing that was really, really alarming, and you should read some of the comments that people are saying about these girls. It's so fucked up and it's so disturbing when you read them. You're just like, do people not have daughters? Do they not have sisters? Do they not have mothers? Do they not have wives, girlfriends? No, you don't have women in your life who can actually come out and tell you. Every single woman I know and have known and continue to know has been sexually harassed, sexually molested, or sexually, at some point in their lives that has happened to them, okay? Every single woman, including this one, okay? So the fact that these women are being dismissed as if they are just trying to get attention, they don't need fucking attention, okay? This is not the kind of attention that you need. This is not the kind of attention that you seek. This is a horrible way of fucking getting attention. Seriously, because you're going to be shot down. You're going to be shot down by these assholes who come out and tell you that your stories are lies, that somehow you're trying to seek attention. These girls are not multiple women. I mean, tons of these girls are coming out and accusing this guy. Are they all seeking attention? Are they all wanting to, you know, a piece of, of Chris D'Elia? If that was indeed the case, they would like probably have private messaged him and be like, hey, listen, I have all these messages on you. Fucking pay me. Or try to extort money out of them. That's not what they're doing. They're going out and they're saying, this is my truth. I don't give a fuck if you believe me or not. And more power to these girls for doing so, right? It's not an easy thing, especially young women. I mean, this young generation is pretty outstanding when it comes to speaking the truth. I'm a huge fan of that. I mean, I think what's really disturbing to me is that even in the age of Me Too and Time's Up, women are not being believed and they're being dismissed as if their truth is irrelevant. Like, it's not validated. I mean, these girls put their names, they put their reputations on the line to come forward against wrongs that were done to them. But they're being shamed. They are being told to shut up and not believed. Why is that so? Why are women historically just dismissed when they come forward and about sexual harassment allegations against famous men? Why is that? One of the biggest things that was being asked of them was to show proof. Show me proof. Show me proof and these women did. Okay, they showed texts, they showed emails, they had screenshots of all their exchanges with Chris D'Elia showing proof that this guy is a fucking predator. Like he was trying to solicit sex out of them. In one text, he's like, hey, can we make out? Motherfucker, I don't know you. Even forget about saying that to an underage girl. If I meet a guy on a dating app, and the first thing out of his mouth is like, can we make out? You know what he gets? Blocked is what the fuck he gets. Because that's creepy as fuck. I don't give a fuck what age you do that at. That is just fucking creepy, okay? Chris D'Elia is creepy. He just is, okay? Especially now, that's even creepier with all the accusations coming out. I mean, I think with women, it's like no matter how much proof we show, no matter how much things we show to validate our point, it's just not enough, you know? Where men are being asked to give due process. And hey, don't you believe in due process? Don't you believe in proof? Yeah, I do. I do. But I also believe in those women. I also believe in those women because I am also one of those women. And I am going to tell you my story about with a famous comedian that happened to me. that I have been getting a lot of shit for. Because I talked about it. I exposed him yesterday on my Facebook post. And I have been getting some not so nice text messages from this person's friends who are also my peers. Okay. You know who did have proof of who of for accuser of, you know, the you know who did have proof all these years? Accusers of Bill Cosby. Yeah. For years and years, these women were shouting and screaming on top of their lungs. They all had the same, they all were telling the exact same story because that's what his approach was, right? Invite them to the hotel room, give them a drink mixed with Quaaludes, they pass out, and then he rapes them. That's his fucking, that was Bill Cosby's game. And for years, these women screamed and shouted and nobody believed them. They had proof. Nobody believed them, okay? For the longest time. You know when people started revisiting and started believing them? When a male comic by the name of Hannibal Buress, shout out to Hannibal, by the way, for being an ally. He's amazing. I love Hannibal. Shout out to Hannibal for standing up and saying, Bill Cosby has been accused of rape for years and nobody believes these women. It is then the accusations were revisited. And then the ball rolled the way it did. Where then, you know, they started revisiting all the cases because a man stood up, not because those women were speaking up. Do you understand that over 60 women accused Bill Cosby of rape and nobody believed them? And it only took one male comic, one black male comic to stand up and call his ass out. And then all of a sudden he was believed. Is that how much we are worth? Is that how much our word is worth? 60 women. And one guy, is that what our worth is? I don't fucking think so. That is not the world that I wish to live in. That is not the world that we're going to live in. We are going to change that shit. When a woman comes out and accuses, and especially multiple women come out and accuse and tell you the exact same thing that this guy has done, because he has the same fucking approach and game, women need to be believed. Women need to be believed before they're being asked to like, oh, due process, this and that, fuck you, okay? No woman in her right mind is just going around accusing men of like rape and of soliciting underage sex. No woman in her right mind is doing this shit, especially multiple women. Ain't nobody got time like that, okay? So I definitely don't have fucking time like that. Bill Cosby was drugging women with Quaaludes, drugging them and raping them. Okay. Nobody believed these women. Nobody for years. And finally, he got tried. Finally, he got, you know, I mean, this is how ballsy he was, because he knew, he felt that he had so much power that he was making jokes about it. He has a whole bit about Spanish Fly. You know what Spanish Fly was? It was a drug. He said that Spanish Fly got women in the mood, meaning it knocked them the fuck out so you can fucking rape them. Yes. He was joking about that shit. Spanish Fly, okay? And, you know, this Quaalude son of a bitch, you know, can die for all I care. I could fucking care less about Bill Cosby and his defendants. I often wondered why Bill Cosby's one eye was straight and the other eye was crooked. I always wondered that. And that's because one eye, the straight eye, was keeping, keeping an eye on the door. And this eye was raping. The crooked eye was raping. You know what I'm saying? This eye was watching the door so nobody comes in. And this eye was raping. Quaalude eye. The crooked eye. Quaalude eye. Fuck him. I can make fun of his eyes. He raped women. He can go fuck himself. Okay. Harvey Weinstein. Another wonderful example. Nobody wanted to stand up to Harvey Weinstein. Why? Because he's Harvey fucking Weinstein. He's the most powerful producer in Hollywood. Who's going to touch this guy? Raping. Going on a rampant raping spree. Okay? Sexually molesting women, harassing them, raping them, doing whatever the fuck he wants. Why? Because the system allowed him to. The people around him supported him. They supported his cause. They didn't want to stand up to him. Fear is the number one motherfucker. Let me tell you something. People don't want to be on famous, people's bad graces. They don't. Everybody wants to be on famous people's good graces. Nobody wants to call them out for horrible bad behavior. And that encourages them even further to go further and to keep doing horrific things until it gets really, really fucking bad, which it did in Harvey Weinstein's case. You know why Harvey Weinstein got exposed? You know, in 2015, Times finally published an article about a 22-year-old Italian model that went to NYPD and told them that Harvey Weinstein had inappropriately touched him. That's what got the ball rolling. Do you understand the courage it takes? Do you understand how brave this 22-year-old must have been, how scared she must have been to approach NYPD and be like, this, the strongest producer, the most powerful producer in Hollywood touched me inappropriately. Like, kudos to this girl. Like, what courage must have had taken to go and do that? And they finally, NYPD finally had an audio of him confessing that he did do that. And then once that came out, the ball just started rolling. All these voices started coming out. They're like, he did this to me. He did that to me. If you read the cases and if you read the transcript in court of the accusers when they come out and they tell their stories, it's like gut-wrenching. It like nauseates and disgusts you. I think at one point, I think he's like jerking off in a potted plant. Who jerks off in a potted plant, dude? Have you heard of a sock or like a tissue or a hand or like, I don't know, like a toilet seat, a toilet bowl? I don't know. Fucking jerk off in something else. Like jerking off in a plant, in a potted plant? That's fucking disgusting. Okay? This guy has been doing this shit for a long time. And he kept getting away with it. Why? Because the system supported him. Okay? Everybody supported this guy. He finally, he lost his career. He lost his wife. He lost his money. And he's being tried for rape as well. Okay? Some of the stories, like Annabella Sciorra's, that was just really gut-wrenching. If you have the chance, Google it. Read that story. It is so gut-wrenching. Like, he pins her down and he rapes her. Okay? And she is speechless. I mean, it's horrible. It's fucking horrible. Okay? And on top of that, she has to stay quiet. She has to make good. She has to smile every time she sees him. What the fuck is that like? To stare your rapist straight in the eye and just smile because he's powerful and you feel like you don't have any power against an asshole like that. That's the fucking world that we're trying to come out of, okay? And that world still exists in the stand-up comedy world. And I think to a certain extent it also exists in Hollywood. But thank God, I think it's getting a lot better what people are getting to talk about it. But then again, nobody wants to stand up to famous, rich people. Nobody wants to stand up to that. Right? Because they're going to lose their careers. They're not going to work. People are going to turn them down. They're maybe lose gigs. Who the fuck knows? You know, I don't know. Maybe maybe that kind of backlash may come at me. I don't fucking know. But I just know that I need to speak my truth. Okay. And I know that there are other women who should have the courage to come out and speak up too. And I want them to be empowered. I want them to not be scared because fear, like I said, is the number one killer because fear is the number one thing that encourages these fucking assholes. Okay. And we can't let them have it. Fuck that. If they want to go jerk off in a potted plant, they can go jerk off in a potted plant, but they don't get to jerk off in front of you, boo. No, fuck that. Okay. They can go jerk off in whoever they can jerk off to their own fucking image. Okay. Just don't fucking jerk off in front of me because I'm going to fucking kick you right in the dick. Sorry, was that aggressive? That was a little aggressive, but you know, fuck it, they deserve it. I read Chris D'Elia's story and I really got compelled, man. I was watching Chris D'Elia and just listened to his reaction and what he was saying. And then I started, and I was like, wow, are we naming names? Like, are we calling out predators? Are we calling out people who, famous comedians who abuse their power and use it to try to solicit sex, not just, you know, only out of underage girls, but out of other fellow comedians. I was like, oh, let me tell you something. It is a time of reckoning. I don't know if you realize it or not, with everything that's happening with COVID and where we are in 2020, it is a time of reckoning. And wrongs that were done will be done right. And I want to be part of something that is going to be done right. And I want to be part of bringing on that reckoning somehow. I had an experience with a very famous comedian. He's actually named one of the top 10 richest comedians in the world. So I think some people might be like, Mona, that's like, might be like career suicide for you to even come out and talk about this. Maybe you'll just never get gigs. Maybe you'll just never work in Hollywood again. You know, maybe people will just shut me down because I call this person out, you know? I'm being told by I'm being told by people like, oh, he's a really nice guy. He's a good guy. And maybe, you know, maybe he is a good guy. Maybe he's a good guy to them. And, you know, I don't know that. I don't know that part. You know, I can only go by what my truth is. Okay. There is a comedian by the name of Russell Peters. Okay. And I've talked about him on iHeartRadio before, but clearly people didn't care about the story. But I was really, really compelled to tell this story because I think he comes across as somebody who's very nice and very sweet and very gentle. But to me, he was not. I met Russell when I had just arrived in LA back in like 2011, I believe it was. I go to the improv. You know, Russell has been my hero for the longest time. Look, if you're a South Asian comic, like, you pretty much grew up watching Russell because Russell was the first South Asian comic who made it. I mean, my God, like, he's a hero. He's a hero for so many of us, or was a hero for me. And then I get to L.A., and then I find out that he's performing at the Hollywood Improv. And I was like, oh, shit, I gotta go watch this guy at the Hollywood Improv. So I go to the Hollywood Improv. And it just so happens, I go there with a guy friend of mine. I wasn't dating him. He was just a guy friend of mine. And I go in and I see him standing outside. And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I don't know. Didn't miss him yet? Because he's supposed to go up. So I go inside and my friend is getting a drink. So I go up, come back outside because I see Russell standing there. I'm like, hey, Russell. I'm like, my name is Mona Sheikh. I was like, hey, man, I'm just such a fan of yours. Did you go up yet? And he goes, yeah, I went up already. I'm like, oh, no, I missed you. I'm so sorry. I was like, when are you going up next? And he goes, oh, I have a show coming up this weekend. You should come by. And I was like, oh, he was like, who's the guy friend? And I was like, oh, he's just a guy friend of mine. He's like, lose the guy. Bring a girl with you. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah. Then he calls over the manager of improv at the time. And he goes, hey, man. He was like, you know, do we have any seats available? And the guy goes, no, we don't have any seats available because we're sold out for the upcoming show. And Russell was, you know, he was very gracious at that moment. And he goes, hey, just don't worry about it. Just show up and we'll have a seat for you. I was like, oh, thank you so much. He's like, yeah, but don't bring the guy. Just bring a girl with you. I was like, okay. So I show up and I bring this girlfriend with me. And it's packed, right? I mean, it's like lines out the door of the improv. So I finally, so the manager sees me and he goes, hey, Russell's expecting you. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. So I go up and Russell's standing there and there's like a bunch of other famous people there. And we start talking. And I was like, hey, man, I was like, you know, thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate this and that. And, you know, we're just like shooting the shit and talking. And he was like, all right. He's like, you know, I'll see you after the show. I'm like, great. So I go downstairs and there's seats there. I go sit down and I watch him and he's like doing his settings, being very funny the way Russell usually is. And then after the show, I go back up where, you know, him and all like other celebrity stuff and are hanging out. And he goes, how did you like the show? I was like, oh, my God, I loved it. I thought you were great. You know, you're great. You're Russell Peters. He's like, yeah, you know, we're just like shooting the shit, this and that. And then during the conversation, it comes up that I'm a stand-up comic. And then he kind of stops for a second and he goes, oh. He goes, so you're not just a girl? And I was like, well, female comics are also girls. So yeah, last time I checked, I'm a girl. And he goes, oh, okay. And then he's like standing there and he starts looking at different girls' feet as they're passing by. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I have a foot fetish. And I was like, oh, okay. He's like, well, I don't know if you know, but the first thing when you walked in, the first thing I looked at was your feet. And I really liked your feet. So that's why I talked to you. I was like, oh, like in, as in like toe cheese? Like, is that what you're into? The feet? Like, okay. Guess that's what you're into. Cool. Hey, James, welcome. I'm like, okay, cool. So after that, we like lose track because I later discovered that Russell was going through a divorce at the time. So I guess that must've been a rough time for him or whatever. So then we meet like a year later and totally by accident. So I'm doing a show at the Comedy Store, and the producer of the show walks up to me. He's like, you're not going to believe who's hosting the show. I was like, who's hosting the show? He's like, Russell Peters is. I was like, oh shit. Okay. And I'm feeling already a little awkward because our last exchange wasn't like the best one because it was very, like weird and awkward. And I know that male comics can be, male comics are usually pretty awkward people. Okay. And especially if you throw in any kind of a female comic in there, who's maybe slightly attractive, and shit gets really fucking weird. Their heads almost like explode. They don't know what to do with themselves. They become like, they become like these awkward beings who just don't know what to do with you. And you're just like, you don't have to do anything. You can just be a person, just have a conversation with me. That's it. Like, you don't have to be any more than that. And then Russell sees me and he goes, oh, hey, Miss Shake. He doesn't call me Mona. He calls me Miss Shake. I'm like, oh, hey, Russell, how's it going? And then so I'm standing backstage and it's just me and him. And he's like, you know, he's like trying to like come behind me and trying to rub my shoulders. And I was like, you don't need to rub my shoulders. Like, I'm good. He's like, can I buy you a drink? And I'm like, nah, I'm good. Then he goes up on stage. He's like, the next comic I'm about to bring up on stage, I've been trying to fuck her ever since I met her. Give it up for Mona Shake. Yeah. So I'm a pretty fairly very young comic at the time. So this big hero of a comic that you look up to goes up on stage and is drooling over you sexually, and he just said that he wants to fuck you. What do you say to that? Like, the crowd is on his side. He's the celebrity. I'm just an upcoming comic just trying to, you know, make my bones. Like, who am I? You know what I'm saying? I'm just like an upcoming comic. I can't stand up to this guy. I'm gonna stand up to this guy. Like, the power dynamic is really fucked. You know, he has all the power. I don't, you know? So I go up on stage and I'm just trying to my way out of this. And then after my set, I don't even think he, remained for my set. He left the room. And then after that, I go downstairs. The show's over as I'm leaving. And he walks up to me and he's like, he's with his like posse and stuff. And he's like, hey, what are you doing now? He's like, you want to come back to my place? And I was like, nah, man, I'm good. And I see like other comics, other female comics, like they're drooling over him. And I'm like, I think you should go with the people who are drooling over you. Those are the women you should really go with. Okay. But I think what had happened in somehow, when the first time that I had met him, we had exchanged numbers, because, he was like, oh yeah. He's like, you know, if you have any issues while when you're trying to get a seat at the improv, just text me, you know, and I'll take care of it. So we had exchanged numbers. So he had my number. So he's standing there and he's like, hey, you wanna come back to my place? I'm just like, nah, dude, I'm not interested. Like, I'm not. I've already told you I'm a comic. I'm good. I'm going home. Goodbye. I leave. Okay. Maybe a year or so passes by and I get this text message for him, from him. I think he was on that show. He was a judge on Last Comic Standing, I believe it was. Yeah. And I get a text from Russell saying, hey, you wanna come chill in my hot tub with me in Malibu? Nah, dude, I'm good. I think I've already told you I'm not interested in fucking you. If I wanted to fuck you, I would have fucked you already. So no, Russell, I don't want to be in your hot tub or anywhere near you, quite frankly, because I'm not fucking interested. Okay. A little bit of time passes by. I'm talking to a girlfriend of mine, also a very funny comic. And I tell her about my exchange with Russell. And she goes, oh, yeah, he acted pretty shitty with me, too. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, I was doing a show at this comedy club. And after my set, he said to me, oh, very funny stuff. And my girlfriend said, oh, hey, you know, you go on tour all the time. Would you take me with you? And he goes, aw, I would totally take you with me, but I would want to fuck you the entire time. Do you understand the power dynamic here? I know that this is like dark shit, okay? And a lot of people are uncomfortable with this. Trust me, you're uncomfortable because I'm fucking uncomfortable, okay? If you're uncomfortable listening to it, imagine being in it and experiencing it firsthand. Like, comedy is a hard game as it is. And then you add this sexual harassment aspect of it from an established male comic, it just fucks things up even further. Because then you say to yourself, oh my God, if I don't give in to the advances, does that mean that he's going to go and talk to other people and tell them things? Maybe he'll make up stuff, or maybe he'll tell them not to book me. Like, what's going to happen to me? But I take the stance of, I don't fuck comics. I just don't. I just don't. That's just not my jam. I'm sorry. No offense. I just don't. You know, I that's been my policy, and it's helped me quite a bit. I keep to myself. I work hard, and that's what I do. Okay? I don't fuck comics. That's not my jam. Especially famous comics. It's not, just not my thing. Okay? So it is for some people. It's not my thing. I don't do it. I wish to build it on my hard work. I wish to build it on my sacrifices and my dedication so I can hold my head up high and have my conscience clear at night. Okay? So I can go to sleep well. Which I usually don't because I have insomnia, which most comics do. But I told my story yesterday, and I didn't get to explain it, you know, because I wanted to do this and I wanted to tell it in person because it's so much different when you tell it on video versus when you just kind of write it out. Because then people are like, oh, why'd you exchange numbers with him then? Why'd you do this with him? Why'd you two talk to him? Let me tell you something, okay? And I know I'm probably going to be a shit ton of backlash that's going to come my way. There's going to be people who are going to come and deny my story or say, oh, well, that's not predatorial behavior. Oh, that's not sexual harassment. But it fucking is. Okay. Anytime you come at come at a woman with your fucking dick out or your fucking tongue hanging out. Yes, that is fucking sexual. I'm sorry to break it to you, but that's sexual. Okay. Let me tell you how clueless male comics can be. I remember doing a show one day. It wasn't even a show. It was an open mic. This is like new days of comedy in LA. I go sit down and I sign up for a mic and there's this male comic sitting across from me. And he goes to me, oh, what's your name? And I said, oh, my name is Mona. This person tells me their name. They're like, oh, are you on Instagram? I said, yes, I am. And this person follows me on Instagram and I follow them back. I do my set and I leave. Within an hour, I get a message on Instagram from this person. Hey, so you smiled at me, so I guess you like me, right? And I was like, wait, what? He goes, yeah, do you want to come over to my place and like cuddle with me? What? I just followed you on Instagram. That wasn't an invitation to cuddle with you. Like, I don't know where the translation went bad for you, guy. I mean, I think my dog reads emotions way better than this guy ever would. Okay. I've seen birds read emotions better than this fucking guy. Okay. And I was like, no, I'm not coming over to cuddle with you. And what the fuck? And this person quietly backed off. And then every time we saw each other, it was like this weird, awkward exchange. And then I spoke to another female comic about this person and they were like, oh yeah, this person is creepy. Stay away from them. That's the thing about female comics. Let me tell you something. This might be a little secret that I'm going to let out of the bag, but this is the truth. You know, because there are so many sexual harassment stories that female comedians experience from other male comics, rather than going out and making ourselves vulnerable the way I am right now and telling the truth and telling their stories, we just tell it to each other. Because we know that we're going to face a backlash, okay? When guys come out and say, why didn't you come out and say anything? I didn't fucking come out and say anything because just go and look at Chris D'Elia's trending on Twitter. Look at the backlash that these women are facing. Look at the shit that these women are getting faced with. That's why women don't come out. That's why women don't want to come out, whether they'd be in comedy, acting, or whatever, or in a fucking corporation. That's why women don't come out, because there's a backlash, okay? There's a backlash of not being believed. There's a backlash of being called a slut, whore, or a fucking opportunist. There's a backlash of losing your job. There's a backlash of never getting another job. There's massive backlash, okay? Thank God for the courage of these incredible women who stood up and started the Me Too movement. Thank God for the courage of the women who stood up and started the Time's Up movement, or you'll never see justice being served to Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein and all these fucking asshole, you know, head of corporations who were just going about their busy, lovely lives, you know, sexually harassing women, thinking that it was perfectly fine. It's not. It is not fucking okay. You don't get to do that. You don't have any right over my body or my sexuality for that matter. Keep your fucking filthy hands to yourself. Keep your fucking filthy words to yourself. Keep your fucking filthy thoughts to yourself. I don't need to know your shit. Okay, keep it to yourself. You want to jerk off, you want to fuck somebody, go find somebody consensual. You can't find somebody fucking consensual, you know what they have nowadays? Sex dolls. Get a goddamn sex doll. You can turn that into a cum dumpster all you want, honey, but don't come at me with your fucking bullshit. Okay, don't come at me and try to put me in a position where I have to come out and have these conversations, these awkward, weird conversations. Okay, this is weird. This is weird for me to sit down and have this conversation. But this is weird because I'm exposing myself, making myself vulnerable to things that I probably can't even imagine. You know what? But I think truth has to be told. Things need to be told. Okay. And this is probably not the first time that Russell has done this. He's probably done this to so many other people, but he's gotten away with it because he's Russell Peters. Who's going to challenge him? Who's going to stand up to Russell? Right? Who's going to believe him? He's Russell Peters. He's famous. He's got money. He's going to come after you with his PR, his lawyers or whatever to say, you don't have any proof. You know, look, when this shit was happening to me, I don't have like text messages and fucking videos and audios from him. Because who does that shit? I'm not going to stand there and be like, let me record that. Because it's all happening in real time. You're not even processing it until later where you're just like, wait, what the fuck happened? This person came and crossed boundaries. Like they came out and sexually harassed me. Like this person has not, and then you talk to another female coming and they're like, oh, they did that to you. They did that to me too. And you're like, oh, okay. So I'm not alone. And then one person speaks up, second person speaks up. And then all of a sudden, all these women start speaking up and these assholes start getting exposed. But then society comes, especially the males, come and then try to push these women down and say, no, you're true, you're lying. Your truth is not truthful. You're lying. Listen, I don't want any money from Russell. This is not a publicity stunt of any kind. I don't want anything from Russell. Okay. He already gave me the opportunity to fuck him and I didn't. Okay. So I don't want anything from him. What I do want is to tell my truth. Okay. And if we are gonna indeed name names and call up predators, then this is it. This is my moment and nobody forgets to fucking take that away from me. And that's the fucking truth, you know? I actually have faced a little bit of a backlash already where I've gotten private text messages from peers that are that we have in common, that Russell and I have in common, that these guys have been friends with Russell for a very, very long time. One person texted me and they were curious to know what that post was about. And I told them what the post was about. And this person started defending their friend. And I understand, look, you know, because you don't get to see this other side of this person, right? You're not a female. How would you get to see that side? I don't know, you know, if you witnessed them treat other women this way. I don't know if you have. But as somebody who's a female and who's a comic who's sitting on the other end who has experienced this, I'm telling you my truth. So this person was just like, and I told them about what this person has said to my female comedian friend about wanting to fuck them, to take them on tour. And I said, you know, you have, you know, sisters, like, how would you like it if this person came out and said this towards your sisters? And he's like, oh, well, I would go and talk to him, you know, and I wouldn't blast him on social media. Well, yeah, because you have a relationship with them. I don't have that. I don't have access to that. I don't have access to call him up and be like, yo, why the fuck did you talk to me like that? Because I don't know him. We're not homies. We're not friends. We don't have any kind of bond or relationship where I can casually go and have these conversations. You know what I'm saying? You have that luxury and privilege. I don't. I don't have that. All I have is this, right? So this is all I can use to tell my story, right? So, and then this person came out and said something that was really fucking disturbing because it just told their mindset too. And maybe they didn't mean it ill intent. Maybe they're not, you know, but it came across, the impact of their words was really fucked up. They're like, well, you know, if he told them straight out that they wanted to fuck him, at least he's telling the truth. Telling the truth? Are you fucking kidding me? You know who else was telling the truth? Trump was. That's how he fucking got elected, because his followers think that he was telling the fucking truth. If your truth entails telling people that you want to fuck them, it doesn't make you an honest person. It just reveals your ill intent. Please understand the difference. That is not being truthful. That is being a fucking ill-intended person coming out and saying that I wish to do this, and that you're saying that it's totally fucking acceptable. And I'm telling you that it's not. It is not acceptable. It is not acceptable for you to verbalize to me. It is not acceptable for you to try to practice that on me. Fuck off. Seriously. You know, fuck off with that kind of bullshit ass mentality. That's a bullshit statement to make, man. I'm sure, you know, I know you're a good person and you try to do right by people, but that was a bullshit statement that you threw at me. And I'm not very happy about that. I'm not very happy about, you know, people trying to come and throw backlash at me. Backlash at me for speaking my truth. Look, you're either an empathetic person and you're an ally, or you're an ally of the predator. Okay. The choice is yours. Really, the choice is yours. And then it's fine. You're free to pick whichever one you want. Only time will judge you. And I promise you that time will judge you harshly. It really will. Like I said, I don't have a video. I don't, because this shit is happening in real time. All I have is my truth. And this is what my truth is. And this is what I'm talking about what happened. You know, they say that never meet your heroes, they say. Sadly, I did meet my heroes and it was bad. It was a really bad experience and I wish it wasn't. I wish this person was a lot better than, you know, the experience was, because I had worshipped this person for the longest time. I mean, I still think that this person made huge waves for people like myself, and I appreciate them for it. But I think the way they come across is really horrific. And, you know, I think what is really even further disturbing is that this person has a daughter. You know, they have kids. Like, I honestly would never wish that something like this to happen to their daughter. I really pray that their daughter grows up in an environment that they never have to experience a person like their own father. I really pray that. And I really mean that. I am not just saying that to be all like nice and ooh, loosey goosey. I fucking genuinely mean that, you know, because that kid deserves better. She really does. Some of the defenses, man, some of the defenses of the peers are just really amazing. One person who I absolutely love and admire and I'm really close friends with, told me that I threw Russell under the bus. I didn't throw him under the bus. He threw himself under the bus. You know, I mean, if you're going to come out and treat female comics like shit, then you're going to fucking face a backlash at some point. You know, this one person came out and said to me, you know, why didn't you report it ASAP? That's always the fucking thing. Oh, why didn't you report it ASAP? Have you seen what happens to women who report it? They fucking get fired. They lose gigs. Okay, they probably never work in the fucking town again. Everybody shuns them out. Have you seen this shit? Yeah, that's a real fucking thing. Report it to who? To the HR of fucking comedy clubs? Who the fuck am I reporting this to? Okay, I'm reporting it. I'm saying, first of all, you have to get over your fear. Do you know how long it's taken me to even just get over my fear to even sit here and have this conversation with you? Long fucking time. It's taken me a long time to sit here and have this conversation with you. So I am having this conversation with you, and I'm not going back to being fearful. I'm just not. I'm not going to let fear run my life. This isn't a corporate setting, man. I'm not just going to call up HR and be like, hi, I have a complaint to make about this comedian named Russell Peters. Hi, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. They'll be like, bitch, I don't know who the fuck you are, but I'm going to hang up on you. You're talking about Russell motherfucking Peters. Okay? He's Russell Peters. Power dynamic is completely off. I said it once, I'm going to say it again. This is not a publicity stunt. This is not me trying to extract something out of Russell. I don't want anything from Russell. This is just me sitting here telling my truth and exposing a predator that needs to be said. Someone who's not as famous and, you know, as me, you know, as someone who's not as famous as Russell, I don't even have a quarter of the money that he does. I risk my career. I risk my livelihood. I shunned out. I risk losing gigs. I lose comedian friends and maybe never work in this town again. I don't know, you know, but because I rocked the boat. Don't rock the boat, Mona. Just shut up and, you know, keep it in. But if everybody kept shut up and kept it in, we wouldn't have the Me Too movement and we wouldn't have the Time's Up. And we actually wouldn't even have Black Lives Matter. So thank God for people not shutting it up and keeping it in. Thank God for people for speaking out and saying what they need to say. I'm not going to lie. It's scary. I don't know who's going to watch this. Maybe he will watch it. I don't know. You know? And I really hope to God that when he does watch it, that he takes the time to reflect on it and reflect on his behavior and, you know, try to change that behavior. And not be that way. Like, don't be that way. You don't need to. You're established. You've proven yourself already. You don't need to. You have beautiful women coming your way. You don't need to treat other female comics that way. Our struggles are way harder than yours, man. We are, constantly climbing up an uphill battle. We're in a mega competitive industry. And then you're throwing in this whole sexual harassment thing. And then you're standing in the way further. Why? Why? Why are you doing that? We didn't do anything to you. We've been nothing but nice and respectful to you. As a matter of fact, looked at you as our hero. Don't be that way. You don't need to. You're better than that. You are. I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I want to lose friends or people are going to shut me out, but we're going to find out. I think female comics have these trials and tribulations that we go through where, and we try to speak out and we try to make our bones and are told, oh, you're not funny because you're a female comic, or, oh, show me your tits, or other kind of sexual derogatory stuff that people come at us all the time. And that's just, I guess, the name of the game that you come up with. But sexual harassment is a whole different ballgame. Being a predator is a whole different ballgame. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you the double standard of not just stand-up comedy, but of the society that we live in. When a male comic speaks out, in this case, I'm talking about Hannibal Buress, and he speaks out about sexual harassment, he's applauded. He's applauded. He's lifted up. He's like, yes, you're a good guy. But let me tell you something. When a female comic like myself, when she comes out and speaks her truth and tells what happens to her and what has happened to her, she's looked down upon and questioned. That's the difference. That's the difference, okay? Hannibal would be applauded. I would be looked down upon for doing the exact same thing. Exact same thing. No difference. Look, I understand navigating and empathizing with female comics during these times could be challenging. And, you could be a really well-intended person, right? I mean, you could be a really well-intended comic, male comic, and you're like, listen, I empathize. I get you, but this and that. And you know what? I realize that these guys are not bad. I think what they are is that they don't have the language for it, right? And I think maybe I'll just take it upon myself that maybe as a female comic, I take it upon myself to give you that language, right? Where it makes it a little bit easier to say things so your intentions come through, okay? And I'll tell you, I had a male comic friend approach me, and he was asking me all these things, and he was very open to it. He's a lovely human being, and he was very open to it. And I wrote him back the following, and I said, sometimes people can't find the language, and I empathize with you, and I'm with you because I know your intentions are well. So if you really want to empathize, say the following things, okay? And this goes to all gentlemen, okay? I'm sorry that happened to you. No woman should ever have to endure such harassment from a male. And if he indeed is guilty, then I'm glad he's being called out, and I applaud you for your courage. I'm sure it must be hard to stand up to a bully and a predator, especially a famous one. Just know that I'm an ally and here to back up women who've encountered this terrible experience. That's it. That's all you have to say. You don't have to say anything further. We understand. We get you. We respect you for saying that, and thank you for empathizing, right? That's it. That's all we need. I think sometimes all we need is just an acknowledgement. We don't even need you to go and even fix things sometimes. Sometimes we just want to be heard. We just want you to hear us and be like, oh, I get you. I heard you. I heard what you said. I heard what you experienced. And thank you for sharing that. Right? That's all we need sometimes. Listen, maybe some people will hate me. Some people will love me. Or some people might be empowered by me. My objective was to tell the truth. And if it empowers you and if you love me for it, thank you very much. And if you hate me for it, I ask you to find it in your heart to listen to my story again and see what is it that I'm talking about. I am not coming from a place that I want something from this person, because I clearly was given many opportunities by them to get it, and I didn't. I simply wanted to tell my truth, and I simply wanted for other women to feel empowered and encouraged to come out and tell their truth if they're scared. Not just about this person, about any, especially famous, established person who's put them in a compromising position. Tell the fucking truth. If any time is now, it's now. We live in the time of female, and females are way more empowered than they ever used to be. And thanks to the incredible women like Anita Hill, who had the courage to call out Clarence Thomas at a time when nobody believed this woman, and she had the fucking balls to just sit up there and accuse this judge of sexual harassment. And if she can come out fighting, then so can we. Thank you very much for listening. I know it was pretty dark and awkward and uncomfortable, and thank you for listening to it. Thank you for going through with it. Thank you for all your support, Tim and James. I love you guys. I really do, and I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. You guys are here every night listening to me, and that means a lot. And if you haven't subscribed to my channel, please do. Please subscribe to the channel. I'm live streaming every single night during weekdays, 6:15 p.m. Pacific. I am here talking about things that are close to my heart and trending topics. That's what I'm talking about. So, again, subscribe to my channel. You can follow me on social media. I have my ticker going on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. I am still doing the 30-day challenge. So join me. I love you guys. Have a good night. Thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow.